Time to kick off hour number three. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game, the Game Nashville app. We discussed a little Trenton Cannon from Virginia State earlier in the last hour on names of Titans players that weren't on the radar, but Joe says will be coming up into training camp. I said, don't let that be confused with Virginia Union, home of the Fighting Ben Wallaces, which shouldn't be confused with UVA, home of the Fighting John Glennons from SI.com. And John Glennon joins us now to talk some Titans. John, how are we doing this morning?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Yeah, fantastic.
Not good. And the Fighting John Glennons, as we know.
The Fighting Scissors.
They wear
Mighty Fighting Scissors of UVA.
Yeah, they wear they wear ties to football games. Very impressive.
Very classy.
Just the opener.
Ah,
just
whatever. Yeah, details, man, details.
That's normal in the South.
Wear ties at football games and play very slow
in
basketball games.
Yes. And then
play very low scoring basketball.
Yeah, and make you want to never watch a game of basketball again. Yeah, it's an incredible tradition.
Unless you're a UVA fan and you keep getting win after win after win, you know, then it's okay.
John, we'll always have 2019.
That's right.
We'll have that one forever. That one will never go away.
I'm holding on. I'm holding on tight.
John, we've been talking a lot about the Titans this morning, too, especially the Jeffrey Simmons situation. He got to speak yesterday to the media. Not necessarily sure how much clarity was provided on the situation, but it's definitely a thing. I think that's going to be something that's going to be monitored by media, and of course, it's definitely something that's going on behind the scenes, too, based off what we heard, I guess. But what was your kind of takeaway yesterday from listening to Jeffrey Simmons speak, especially when it came to the contract situation he has coming up?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and say I was more confused by the end of the day than I was at the start of the day about Jeffrey Simmons' situation. You know, as has been said, I thought it was good of Jeffrey Simmons to get up and you know, answer a lot of questions that the media had yesterday. But it was weird to me. You know, he talked about how he was following the plan. You know, that and certainly the coaches talked about that Jeffrey was doing exactly what they asked him to do. And, you know, then the obvious question that gets raised is, if you're following the plan and you're healthy and you're doing what the coaches are asking you to do, why doesn't that plan involve you being on the field for minicamp, you know, along with the rest of your teammates? And that's where, you know, you obviously try to start putting, you know, clues together and you start to speculate and say, okay, well, certainly it would make sense for Jeffrey Simmons, you know, who was outplayed the terms of his rookie contract, to be looking for an extension, even though he's only going into year four of a 5-year rookie deal. But certainly we didn't get that definitive statement from anyone yesterday. You know, Jeffrey Simmons saying he was focusing on football. At the same time, he's hiring a management team that, you know, that he kind of said may or may not be talking to the Titans about a contract. So that is the obvious speculation, and Jeffrey Simmons said he will. The plan is for him to be at the start of training camp, but a bit of a cliffhanger, I would have to say. By the end of it, we'll just have to wait and see where this thing goes.
Yeah, I don't. I think we were all in the same boat on that one. I do agree. You know, Kaharsky said afterward, you know, I give him credit for going up there. And I think, you know, he didn't have to, for sure. And I think he wanted to kind of, I don't know, maybe calm people down or something, but it served to largely confuse. And I don't know. We've talked about this off the air. You know, is this really a hold-in and sort of like, okay, but he's going to show up? Or is it Vrabel preemptively saying, yeah, just there's no need to even – risk anything during this period? You know, he knows what's going on. I mean, Vrabel shot down both ideas yesterday, but I don't necessarily believe him on either, you know. So
yeah, because the answers sort of kind of, you know, countered one another. A couple of the answers he had in relations to Jeffrey Simmons, he said that contract situation would never play a part in him deciding, you know, whether a player would practice or not. You know, so that almost flew in the face of, oh, okay, this is about a contract situation. But, you know, what other reason you're left to say would he not be participating given the fact that he's healthy. And again, this would be an unusual situation. You know, it is uncommon for teams to give out contract extensions, you know, going into year four of a five-year rookie deal. But at the same time, you know, exceptions are always made. And if you've got a franchise defensive player and one of the best defensive tackles in the game, you know, you certainly take it very seriously. And maybe you lean towards making an exception in Jeffrey Simmons' case because, as I said, he's a franchise player, and the last thing you want, especially after the A.J. Brown situation, is any kind of a franchise-type player who is not happy. And we should say, again, Jeffrey Simmons hardly sounded like a malcontent yesterday.
Exactly.
You know, he sounded very, very happy. You know, the fact that he was up there talking, you know, that's a positive as well. So it certainly hasn't reached any kind of a friction stage, I would say, at this point.
Yeah, I think, and I don't know what's going to happen with Henry, but I feel pretty confident that the Titans are going to do this with Simmons. And I think in both cases, whatever it is, I think it's going to be a lot different than A.J. Brown. What do you think? Do you think that at some point in camp we're gonna find out about a new deal for him? For Simmons, I'm talking.
I would think, again, it's unusual. You know, normally the Titans and most NFL teams certainly, you know, would wait another year to kind of do that extension going to the fifth year. But you look at what he has done, and you look at the money that he is making, you know, on his contract. And again, this is a typical rookie contract, and it's part of the CBA, so it's not like the Titans are underpaying him compared to other rookies. But, you know, he's making a 2.2 base salary this year. And you know, even for the fifth-year option, I think it would be about, what, $10.8 million or so. And you look at, like, Aaron Donald, who's just signed a, you know, a three-year $95 million deal. And, again, you can't put Simmons in the same category yet as Aaron Donald because of what Donald has done over the years. But at the same time, also, you know, Simmons, I think, is number two by a long shot. And deserves more money. And if I'm Jeffrey Simmons, I'm saying, yeah, well, you know, show me some money here. I've outplayed the terms of this deal, and you know, keep your big fella happy here.
Jeffrey Simmons wasn't the only one, quote unquote, unavailable during some practices this week. Treylon Burks was as well. And I posed this question to Joe earlier this morning, John, as we're talking to John Glennon from SI.com. What has which, I guess, do you have a higher percentage confidence in happening? Philip Forsberg being a national predator next year and getting his contract situation resolved and staying with the team, or Treylon Burks being a full practice participant on day one of training camp?
Wow. Which do I think is more likely to happen?
Yes.
At this particular moment, if you're talking about a full participant, I'm still leaning towards Forsberg here. I've stuck with the Predators, gonna re-sign Forsberg for months now. You know, I still feel confident that it's gonna happen based on what we heard, you know, at the end of the season from both sides. I know time is starting to run low. I think that's gonna happen. You know, whereas I think, you know, Treylon Burks, I would have to think that his, you know, the asthma situation is further controlled, you know, by the start of training camp. But I still wouldn't be surprised if, you know, out of the gate at training camp, you know, maybe it's more of a ramp up for him compared to other guys. You know, no need to push anything too far right away. So I might lean towards Mr. Forsberg over Treylon at this moment.
How damaging do you think or problematic do you think it is that he did so little for a guy who, you know, is just going to be such an important story this year?
Yeah, it's unfortunately a problem, you know, and it may not be a concern once training camp goes, and maybe he's the kind of guy that can pick up on things very quickly. But, you know, as much as coaches and players want to say, okay, we'll still, you know, stay up to date with the installations, we'll watch film, you know, we'll study the playbook. You know, it's obviously not the same as being out on the field. And, you know, it was one thing when Treylon Burks was kind of in and out, you know, kind of a partial participant. But then to miss, you know, the two full days of mini camp and, you know, perhaps more time, you know, we didn't see every OTA either. So we don't know exactly how much time he was on and off the field. So I think that's significant. And again, yeah, if you're talking about a sixth-round draft pick who might be on special teams this year, it's not nearly as big a concern. But let's face it, literally the next move the Titans made after dealing A.J. Brown was to pick Treylon Burks. And clearly it's a replacement-type situation there. And because of the Titans' receiving core, there are going to be high expectations for Treylon Burks to produce right away. So, how much of a concern? Well, maybe that depends on how well Treylon Burks is ready to go at training camp and how quickly he picks things up and makes up for lost time. But I don't think you can just sweep it under the rug when a rookie is missing a decent chunk of his very first off season.
John Glenn has been our guest from SI.com and a big fan of the Fighting Ralph Sampsons. John, appreciate you joining us and look forward to talking to you down the road.
Okay, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, Johnny.
Good stuff there from John Glenn. And we'll go ahead and react to some of the stuff he said, especially some of his thoughts on the Simmons potential deal and how problematic it is that Treylon Burks spent the last couple of days of Titans minicamp being quote-unquote unavailable. Robbie and Rexford, ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game, The Game Nashville app.
Well, attention men, have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. And right now, Andrew joins me from Hillside Medical Clinic to tell us all about it. Andrew, what's going on?
Well, that's right, guys. If you're struggling with ED, you're probably sick of those pills. I don't blame you. Hillside Medical Clinic uses the most advanced form of a technology. It's called wave therapy. Gentle pressure waves go through the skin into the blood vessels. It only requires a few 10-minute treatments, and it's clinically proven to get rid of the erectile dysfunction without the use of pills.
So, Andrew, what kinds of studies have been done on this wave therapy technology?
Well, it is extensive. 60 clinical studies. Think of that, from 5 countries all over the world. This is heavily vetted. Even Cambridge University studied this. And it was called the new standard of care for erectile dysfunction.
And Andrew, you've got a special offer if our listeners call in right now.
We certainly do. Guys, if you're ready to end the ED and regain your love life, grab your phone, give us a call. The assessment, exam, and blood flow ultrasound is going to be free this morning. And this very popular gift that produces immediate results in the bedroom, you'll love that. It's worth hundreds of dollars. Call us now. It's all no charge.
You heard it, guys. You can put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer at 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now at 615-576-5000.
Whoa. Had that microphone a little close to my face. We're back on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5, 106.3, the Game Nashville app. And don't forget, you can catch the NBA Finals on 102.5 and 106.3, the Game, as the Golden State Warriors take on the Boston Celtics. Tip off for Game 6 is tonight at 8 o'clock. NBA Finals coverage on the station is powered by FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Good stuff there from John Glennon. And some of the stuff at the end about Treylon Burks, definitely, like, there's a lot more concern as time goes on. And when he was missing rookie minicamp, I wasn't that concerned. The first couple days in town, like, I get it. And now, like, it's a reported asthma issue, but he's still having a hard time making it through practices. Been unavailable, quote-unquote, the last few days. And now I'm trying to gauge when it's time to press the panic button on Treylon Burks, because maybe missing some of this time and maybe missing that opportunity to get chemistry with Ryan Tannehill could be problematic. I mean, last year we were sitting in this position, Julio Jones didn't participate in anything, and I was like, it's fine because, you know, they're pros. Ryan Tannehill's a pro. Julio Jones, one of the greatest receivers to ever live. They can figure it out. I trust them to be able to figure it out. They never really figured it out, and Julio Jones never really got past that hamstring issue. But the way things are looking right now, I think we're getting a little closer to at least maybe staring at the panic button for Treylon Burks and not being able to produce what he was drafted to produce whenever they made the trade to take A.J. Brown and give him to Philadelphia.
Yeah, I swear I'm
there you go.
That was not me. That was not me.
For the record. That was me. That was a Michelle mute accidentally.
A mish mute.
Mishmute. That one's funny.
See, I think
I don't know why it's so funny. That's funny.
Just alliteration just works, you know.
It works.
I don't think Julio. I don't think it was really like a chemistry thing. Maybe early in the season with Julio and Tannehill. I think actually, even like the finale at Houston, it was pretty good, right? I think it was just that Julio just wasn't. I mean, he just couldn't run like he used to. Couldn't do things he used to do for most of the year. But yeah, with this, well, rookie, because those guys can't. I mean, Julio Jones and Tannehill, having been in the league so long, like that's where actually conversations probably are valuable, and like they, you know, they still had some work on the field together too, by the way. But Tannehill the other day is talking about Hooper and even like building chemistry with like Westbrook Akina and Okonkwo and all these guys, right? Because it's important, because it matters. So it can't be that important that it's always talked about with quarterbacks and pass catchers, and then irrelevant when the rookie first-round pick is not out there at all. And I give Tannehill credit. I mean, he still put a positive, hey, you know, we'll work on this, that, but he did say, yes, it hurts, no doubt. I mean, it hurts to not have him. This would have been, of all the different things that you can do, during the spring, or all the things that would have mattered during the spring, like what would have been more important than those two guys building something really good? Because like, there's a whole bunch of stuff that you don't do in the spring. You know, the big fellas are, it's just get in shape and keep moving around. You know, work on your steps, work on your feet, all that stuff. But with those two, that's actually work that could have paid off.
That's benefit. It's season. Very beneficial work.
Yeah. So. You know, that's where it's really costly for the Titans. And we'll see. Like Glennon said, if he's full go during camp, you can make things up. I think there was already, to me, probably going to be some level of once games start, you have to build up to be what what they want you to be. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think it was realistic ever. It was never fair to him. The night he was drafted, the night A.J. Brown was traded for him to, to just come right in and go 7 for 120 and 2 touchdowns in the opener and just go from there. That just wasn't going to happen anyway. But now how much does this, if at all, set things back?
And not every receiver is going to be drafted to be Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase to where they're just like instant impact guys that early. You know, I think that kind of spoiled a lot of people. But still, my expectation, or I guess my level of – not concern of like what his play needs to be next year. Like I'm setting that still in terms of yardage, just raw yardage, like 600. Like he's got to at least get to 600 yards. It's not all pro worthy. It's not going to get him a Pro Bowl. But I think he's got to at least get to that. Like that's my floor with him. But like, can he still get to that kind of level if he still misses some time in training camp? Maybe. But it doesn't make it any less of a concern, and the more that this kind of goes on, like day one of training camp is going to be interesting just to see how much he's able to get through it, and I think that's a reasonable goal for him. Maybe if we take baby steps, like let's get through an entire practice, get through one practice, maybe you can string together full practices, and then maybe you can be able to get closer to getting at least 600 yards in an NFL season. But to me, like I'm getting awfully close to, if I'm a Titans fan, poking that panic button and just being, because if it's not on day one of training camp that he's still not able to make it through a practice, there might be something a little more worrisome than just not being in top-notch shape or asthma. I don't know. It's tough.
That's where it's still confusing, because certainly he had this previously. He managed it in Arkansas, a very not cool place, as in, you know, temperatures, I'm speaking.
I was going to say, is Arkansas about to catch – the state of Arkansas about to catch a stray here? On this
we already had a Rob rant about their guy – what do you call the player? I don't even
Oh, yeah.
A loser.
This guy called that college player a loser.
God. I mean, it was – boy, unhinged. No. Pretty sad. State of Arkansas. I've actually really only driven through it, but it's fine. Okay, yeah. It's fine. I'm saying the temperature is high. And Treylon Burks seemed to do just fine. Again, last year was kind of a breakthrough for him per, you know, folks at Arkansas in terms of different level of conditioning and obviously performance. I mean, he got himself drafted 18th, you know?
Yes.
Again, if you want to feel better about all this stuff, the easy way to do it is to go watch Treylon Burks play for Arkansas last year.
He was a machine.
You can go find it. I mean, he's special. He's special and a real problem for people in a league with the best talent in college football, going against top-notch players who he's going to see now at this level. That's how you feel better. The whole thing of just like the fact that he's just totally not there this week. I mean, again, it's just let's guess. Let's speculate.
Yeah.
That's what we've got.
That's what we got. That's what
I mean. We needed Rob Moore to just say, "Yeah, he's got asthma," but again, that doesn't explain everything. It is an important piece of information here.
Yeah,
plenty of. And in fact, we had Glennon on. Glennon had a really good piece at SI.com about asthma and athletes and how you manage it. It was really, really good, really well done, really thorough. So I wish I would have, you know, given him that compliment when he was on the air. But, you know, I'm sure he's listening. But it was very good. And mentioning guys like Bettis, several. Did someone say Beckham? I want to say David Beckham isn't
really?
Asthmatic.
Interesting. Yeah.
I'll find his piece. He had listed a lot of the, you know, really prominent athletes who had it. Of course, people have it. People manage it. Does that have anything to do with, like, this week him not being there? I would guess no, but I don't know.
No, and that's the thing.
I don't know.
Like the transparency, like the only one being fully transparent seems to be Rob Moore, who's only willing to give you any pieces of the puzzle to be able to get a full picture here.
Yeah,
not as much transparency.
Look, if we can sub in Rob Moore for Vrabel, like, you know, like once a week or something.
I mean,
you know,
maybe.
No.
Rob Moore, the true serum.
We'll put it to
Tennessee
a vote.
Titans. Well, the Treylon Burks thing is just one small concern right now for this Titans team. The wide receiver group as a whole could be a concern. There are concerns all across this team right now, or some unclear pictures heading into the 2022 season and training camp, but it wouldn't be a sports talk radio show if we don't rank those concerns. We'll do that on the other side. As you're listening, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game in the Game Nashville app. Do you like aesthetically pleasing close-ups of our faces? If you do, then I've got good news for you. And that's you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Some nice close-ups. You don't want to miss it. That's where you find it.
Lovely they are.
Very much so.
You know who would be a really nice close-up to have? Paul Kaharsky.
Yeah, you know, just number like one, a, just, fan, just Robert that, McCready that, fan.
Yes, McCarsky and I are in a Twitter war right now, which all stems from this video of me like laughing at Malik Willis, but then also, you know, like this still shot of me like, "Oh, Malik!" And so now it's has become a thing. I'm going to try to just. I need to make sure that I stand where no camera is shooting.
Well, it's perfect because it's Malik, and then you're smiling, and then right above your shoulder is Jared's chin, and he has his aviators on, and he just has a straight face.
Right. Trying to look tough. Yeah.
So it's like the meme where the guy's holding the girlfriend's hand. Yeah. The jealous girlfriend meme.
For people who don't know that meme, it's got to be the most used meme, right? It's like the guy's walking with his girlfriend, but then he's turning back to look at a woman walking the other way, and she's looking at him with a look of disgust.
Yes.
On her face. So Jared Correct. Is the girlfriend looking at me as I look at Malik Willis, is what you're saying.
Yeah, so you and Jared are dating.
Right.
And then, yeah.
And then Malik Willis it breaks it up, yes.
That is in the meme Hall of Fame next to the crying Jordan.
By the way, in that meme, is it not the same woman? Like, look at it. It's the. I swear, it's the same person.
That is a strong conspiracy
twins.
Theory.
Well, I mean, look at it. I think
he's
that
got
they
a
are
type.
They are identical. Maybe that's it. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, Kaharsky ripping on me for not being. I'm like, hey man, you got to show up at everything, Kaharsky. You have to show up. You cover the Titans, and you only cover the Titans. I want my PaulKaharsky.com coverage every day. I'm just saying.
Maybe Paul Kaharsky is the man in the meme looking at Robert McCready, and Roger McCreary is the jealous girlfriend.
Yes. And for people who don't know, Kaharsky called McCreary McCready the other day, so we made fun of him. And I asked Vrabel why he didn't rip him, and Vrabel said, oh, I don't even listen to him. So you're all caught up now on Titans media fighting.
Titans
media infighting.
Today on Titans Twitter media drama.
Yes, it's usually some level of sniping. I was going to say it usually involves Garcia, but I mean, let's be honest, it probably involves me usually too.
I was going to say, you're in a lot of it. Yeah, you are a frequent character.
But really, it's only Paul and Jared who really ever get me fired up, which again is why
they know how to push your buttons.
Why Stilly and Pauly is going to be an amazing show in 2029.
Well,
Stilly and Pauly, I can't wait for it. It's going to be amazing.
Paul will be on. They're premiering on Monday.
Yes.
949 The Fan. It's official.
Yes.
Official. Yeah, that's right.
They're premiering Monday. Outkick 360. So they will now be. Yeah, they will now be. They'll be on 949, of course. Jared and Caroline, or Fenton and Company, as I call the show, on 102.5 and 106.3.
Speaking of Jared, he'll be on joining us at 9 o'clock to antagonize Joe to kick off the last hour of the show.
And we can talk about concerns. Now, with Jared, we're going to talk about concerns right now. Now, now, if this were Jared, we would need probably more time because it's like here's actually an interesting thing I need to throw to you.
Okay.
Because I would not count this as a concern. I wrote about the Titans whole spring. And I put concerns at theathletic.com, and I put concerns in the categories based on coolness, because you were unlocking your phone and sweating this week, right? If you're out there.
Yes.
Like that caused you to sweat. So I went from straight up ice bath all the way down to wrapped in black velvet lying on the hood of a black Camaro in the sun. Okay.
Oh yeah.
So okay. You got the
baking,
the good stuff is in the coolness. The bad stuff is, or I had another category, which was air conditioning has been out for 4 hours and someone spilled milk, which is what my car smells like right now.
Oh, that's gross.
So I'm pretty sure my son spilled a protein shake and it has gotten rotten.
It was just your clothes from the dunk tank yesterday.
I wish. Then it would be explainable.
The microorganisms growing on that on those clothes probably might produce some kind of stench.
Yeah, they went right in the washer. Let me promise you that. But the concerns, and we've already talked about Treylon Burks. But let me ask you this, because this is something that Jared and Caroline have been talking about quite a bit. Caroline actually asked about culture yesterday of Vrabel, and I think maybe previously one or both has too. What is going on with me and the mic?
Hottest rivalry in sports, Joe and a microphone.
Like personally, first of all, I hate the word and I keep using it. So work environment. I don't think the Titans' work environment is problematic at all. I think it's I think they have a very good situation. I mean, guys have contract disputes. I mean, this is always going
to
happen.
That's pro sports. Yeah.
But let me throw it to you. Like, does this – I mean, A.J. Brown's problematic because you lost A.J. Brown. You lost a great player, and you didn't get the return back that you need to get. And so that's my issue with that, but not that it's indicative of some issue with the organization. What say you?
I don't think it's anything that's growing. I honestly, think that's one of the strengths of this team. Like, this, you don't have – the season they did with the adversity they did in terms of injuries, being able to next man up it and patch things over of like these massive injuries they had last year and still win 12 games in a very competitive conference. If you don't have a workplace environment that is conducive to people overachieving and people lifting others up and be able to have a bunch of individuals work as one towards a goal. It doesn't work that way. We've seen a lot of examples in sports where you do have some of those injury adversities, and teams with lesser workplace environments don't end up fulfilling any kind of goal. You could say that the Titans' goal at the beginning of the year would be to win the division and to host playoff games, and that if you get the number one overall seed in the AFC, you would have overachieved your regular season goal. Now, they underachieved in the postseason, sure, obviously, but with the amount of injuries they had, you still probably wouldn't have guessed they'd have been 12-5 and the number one seed in the AFC and still played the way they did. So it's like the workplace environment to me is in the ice bath. Am I doing this correctly? Is in the ice bath of concerns here.
That's yes. That
honestly,
would be
you could put
a straight up ice bath.
You could put it in the freezer.
Yeah.
You can get out of the ice bath and you put that thing in the freezer.
Well, I think the point, I mean, Jared and I have argued about this some. I don't necessarily want to argue about this. There's so many other possibilities. But the players missing, you know, some of the players missing. And I would, like, I think Ryan Tannehill should have been here for everything. He wasn't. But, you know, he got there and I think it's fine. Nate Davis was one of those guys who wasn't at OTAs. You can make the case, okay, Nate Davis, get all your chemistry working as much as you can with the other whoever the right tackle is going to be. And by the way, it's two guys,
yes,
who are competing for that. So it's not like you're going to, you know, you're going to use every rep to build chemistry with the starting right tackle. We don't know who that will be, and I do not leave the spring saying Dylan Radins is definitely a starting right tackle. That was my prediction. I'll stick with it. He's getting first crack. I'm not confident right now saying that he's going to get it. I have no idea how that's going to go. I think there's a long way to go there. But, you know, players missing, I've looked around some. There's plenty of players missing voluntary stuff. I would say it should be a very well-established veteran who there's no performance. You know, like if you're a younger guy who's still trying to earn a particular spot, I would not advise missing voluntaries. But I didn't think this was some epidemic. I mean, a lot of the defense didn't come for OTAs, and then they were here this last week, and like they're going to do what they do. So yeah, I'm with you. I think workplace environment is fine. I think really the concerns are, to me, it's just offensive units. I mean, it's two in particular. It's receiver and it's offensive line. I personally put offensive line as the thing wrapped in black velvet on a Camaro. Okay,
that's fair. That's up there for me. I wouldn't put it there, but
so you would put receiver as a bigger issue.
Yes, absolutely.
And I understand that. I do. The reason I wouldn't is because I still like Robert Woods, and I think it's actually been great news on the Robert Woods front. And I like Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, and Nick Westbrook-Ikhina
very well noted,
well documented. But the guy is. The guy is making plays. And the thing with Burks is I don't know where it's going to go, but I am confident. You said 600, 700 yards. I mean, I think that's probably like that's a decent number.
That's a realistic ballpark.
People will be upset with that. Understand.
Because of where he was drafted.
Yeah.
And drafted to replace.
Especially be upset with that if it's part of then a mediocre season.
Yes.
But I think that's about right. But I still believe that he can play. And there's still, it's very frustrating and weird and all this stuff what has happened this spring, but I'm still going to guess that he's going to play and play pretty well and be some level weapon. They're going to find ways to get him involved. And also, I like Kyle Phillips. I do. I like Kyle Phillips in the slot. I think that was a good draft pick, and I think it will prove to be a good draft pick. So I'm a little less. To me, when 40% of your offensive line is, I don't know, that's not good.
It's not. And, like, I think there's a lot of unproven commodities. However, I feel like I still believe in Dylan Radins. I might be the only person in town that does. I think there was an acclimation year last year because, like, remember, his last season at North Dakota State, they played, like, a game. You know, it was the COVID-shortened season. He played, like, a game. He, like Caleb Farley, played very little football at the tail end of their college football careers. So the acclimation period for those guys is going to be a little longer. I'm not as concerned, at least with Dylan Radins. I think he will find a home, and that's going to clear the picture a little bit. Obviously, I still think it's a concern, but I still don't think it is as much as the wide receivers. And I think that's the two biggest ones we can probably argue about coming up next because – really, there's two concerns, there's a gap, and then everything else. And we'll discuss whether or not the wide receivers of the O-line should be the one you're most concerned about. Chime in, 615-737-1025 on our phone or our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What concerns you more between the Titans wide receiver core or the offensive line unit? And, of course, we'll always allow a C option, something else. And if it's something else, we'd love to hear it. 615-737-1025. More Robbie and Rex Road. I'm Elijah Campbell filling in for Robbie Stanley here on ESPN 1025, 106.3 The Game, The Game Nashville app. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 7:05 on ESPN 94.9 as the Sounds face the Memphis Redbirds, AAA affiliate of the most evil team in baseball, the St. Louis Cardinals. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9, presented by 312 Pizza Company and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Jeff Hem will be on the call. Scholar and gentleman, Jeff Hem. Very good.
Indeed.
Indeed. But we're talking about concerns. What are things that are going to make us freak out going into training camp? And really, the two that come to mind, I think these are probably the two biggest, and if you poll Titans fans, the biggest concerns are going to be wide receiving group, offensive line. Junie on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Shout out, Junie. Offensive line, 100%. This offense is at its best with a top five O-line in the league, and with left guard and right tackle unknown, this unit will not be nearly as good in years past. Titans also didn't need the receiver depth when their line was intact. I could argue they have more receiver depth this year than in a long time with the Hooper, Woods, and Burks additions.
I think some good points there for Junie. Mostly agrees with me. I will say that when you have the one playmaker who can change a game, and we have seen this. You can talk about A.J. Brown's stats and his availability and all that stuff. You can also point out quite a few games where he took over games. And that is hard to find that player, and that makes everyone else's job better. Now, here's a counter on the text line. No name. 40% of the line has been a question since Conklin left. In that time, we have two division titles, top five record in the league, and we're the number one overall seed. Replacing AJ is a bigger issue. So individually, I agree. I think it's pretty clear how I feel about the AJ Brown trade. Individually, agree. He is the biggest loss. I still put O-line ahead of receiver. You're right about, you know, Conklin left and all that stuff, but you had Kelly. You've been able to figure it out. I mean, Sombrilo came in when Lawan was hurt. You've been able to figure that out. But Saffold, I believe, is just a huge loss. And again, the Saffold thing plays into the cap discussion of this is purely the Titans, like, he's not good enough, he's done, he's hurt too much, see you later. I don't think that's true. I think the Titans would rather have Roger Saffold. And you got to be ready behind him because he's been struggling to stay healthy. But he mostly rallied and got out there in the field and was as good a run-blocking interior offensive lineman as the NFL has seen in the last, you know, 6-7 years.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anybody out there you say, this guy's definitely better. I mean, someone can show me some analytics and make a case. Roger Saffold is right there, perfect for this offense, this offensive line. And if you want to, and to the texture here, you know, Conklin, of course, was on that 19 team. That offensive line is the best Titans offensive line play the end of that year and going into the beginning of 2020 before Lawan got hurt. That's the best Titans offensive line play.
Yeah.
I bet you're going way, way back. Why? Because Nate Davis figured it out. You had Ben Jones. You had Lawan. Then Conklin is really good that year. And you can make the case they should have paid him, but he was really good that year. He's been hurt since in Cleveland. And then Saffold figured it out early on in that year, was struggling with pass pro. All of a sudden, those two, Lawan and Saffold, became a collective bulldozer. And that has been in place, and now it is gone. And it's just, I just don't know. Jamarco Jones, I don't know. Dylan Raidens? I mean, I think Petit Frere looks like a guy who could be good someday, but you're asking, but you know, it's a lot of things that you're hoping to come together. And if you have four players and two don't emerge as like, okay, those are starter quality players, then you take away some of Lawan's strength. You take away some of Nate Davis' strength, even if he is better this year. And it's just going to be a problem, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a problem. To me, it's just the wide receiver group being so limited, and with Robert Woods on paper, obviously is a really good addition. I like the addition of Robert Woods. Robert Woods loved it when you still planned on having AJ Brown. You could draft a receiver in the first round to add to that. Then you have a wide receiving core that can contend with almost any in the league in terms of top end and depth. Losing AJ Brown hurts. If you get nothing from Treylon Burks, you're relying a lot on someone like Robert Woods, who his best years might be behind him, north of 30, coming off an ACL injury. I think that one's going to be really tough. Mark in Ashland City thinks they're both pretty big concerns, obviously. He says, I think the O-line and wide receivers are nothing, wearing wool pajamas and sharing a sleeping bag while laying next to a fire pit on top of black asphalt.
Mm.
Toasty.
That sounds toasty. Good job, Mark. Junie comes back and says, I believe Robert Woods can be that guy in this offense. AJ was. Maybe not to that level, but the gap isn't far off. Well, if you're right, you know, then that's big for the Titans. I like Robert Woods. Robert Woods is a good player. I'm very interested to see how he does in this role, coming off an ACL. I think he's going to be good. Man, there's still, even Robert Woods pre-ACL, to me, there's still a gap between Robert Woods and A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
I believe so, too.
Robin Clarkson on the text line says, everyone is blowing losing A.J. Brown out of proportion. You guys just said Treylon Burks to get between 600 and 700 yards receiving this season. And if he does that, he has replaced A.J. Brown, because that is exactly what A.J. Brown has averaged since he's been in the NFL.
That's not true at all.
Yeah.
That's not close
A.J.
to
Brown's
true.
Worst season was this past year in terms of cumulative receiving yards, which he still had over 800. And then he had 2,000-yard receiving yards before that. I'm not a mathematician, but I can tell you the average is not going to be anything below 857. Has A.J. Brown shown he could be a great receiver? Yes, but very few times he had taken over games, like Joe said, all the time he would average more than 600 or 700 yards this season.
Look, so some people who want to – I understand. A.J. Brown's gone, so talk about the numbers weren't eye-popping, or the availability, which is really why, right? Missed some games.
Yes.
I think if you watched him, I don't know how you – aren't seeing how huge of a loss this is. Dennis says, do you have the stats of the past 20 Super Bowl champs OTA and minicamp attendance? Is there a correlation? It's good to get out of the spring. It is. It's good to get out of the spring and just get into – I mean, you know, it's fine. It's cool to see him out there, talk to some guys and all that, but, man, it doesn't mean a lot. Ron says, question, we'll miss more fall training camp practice days, Kaharski or Burks? Oh, my God. I didn't say it. This is not my burner. Ron is an independent person. Ask a question, Ron. You know what? People are talking about it. I don't know.
Don't know where it came from, but we're talking about it.
So. I can't help. This is what the people want to talk about. I think we're going to have to take attendance with Kaharski. Maybe we'll have to have a Kaharski meter at camp. We'll have to have him sign in every day and make sure he shows up.
Oh, and the only one that was on the text line, because we asked for your opinion, Titans fans, and one unnamed texter says corner is a bigger issue than OL. I think there's some inexperience at corner, but I think they know what the plan is and who they're going to go with, and I think that might make it a little less of a concern. It's the only, I guess, concern you might have on the defense, mostly because there's not a ton of veteran presence there, but I mean, I like the talent they have there at corner, and I think if you get anything out of Caleb Farley, which I think it would be mid to late October in terms of the best of him, I think it's going to take some time for him to get reacclimated to playing consistent football again, because he has, like we said earlier, he hasn't done much of it. I'm not too concerned about the corner just because I feel like there's a decent plan in place there with good talent.
I would probably put corner third, but there's a gap. And it's just the one spot. I like Christian Fulton a lot. I think Elijah Molden's going to be good this year. I like what we've seen, limited viewing, all that, from McCreary, or McCready, as Karski calls him. And Farley is a huge story. I mean, Farley and Raidens, second-year guys, huge storylines. Can they... Mm-hmm.
Very much so.
To live up to draft positioning. Someone called in earlier and said, why aren't we talking more about John Robinson? And that's always part of this, right? I mean, John Robinson's drafts need to start paying off.
First-round picks, specifically.
Yeah, early. First-round and slash early. You know, I mean, Raiden, second-rounder last year. Those picks are so valuable. And the second round's been so good to John Robinson and the Titans before the recent history. Over time, if they don't start panning out, I think you're going to see the effect on the record of the team.
Yeah.
But I'm also not ready to call the 2021 draft a big problem. I think Rashad Weaver's going to be good, Molden, and Raidens and Farley. Big, big stories this year.
Lots to be seen. We'll pick the brain of Jared Stillman. It's a non-Jared versus Joe edition of Jared versus Joe here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app.